Well, good morning. Good to see you today. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Thank the Lord I'm able to be here. I went through all the COVID stuff and never did get it. And last Sunday night, I got to feeling bad. And Sunday night, and Monday night, and Tuesday was a little bit rough. But we made it through it. Thank the Lord we're here. I do appreciate you, your prayers. I'm going to read just one more passage on how we ought to behave ourselves in the church of God. And then I want to begin a new subject today as we study together. So if you'll bow with us in just a word of prayer. And then we continue. Lord, we thank you again for your marvelous grace, for your love and your mercy that you extend to us through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Therein lies our strength and our everything. So Lord, we'd ask you today now as we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who listen in by the way of internet, Lord, we'd ask that you would lead God, direct us by the Holy Spirit, and just put self out of the way, and may it be thus saith the Lord. May we gain knowledge and understanding and be strengthened and encouraged as we fellowship together today. Be with all those in all the classes this morning, Brother Billy, as he brings our morning message. Lord, we do thank you that you loved us enough that you're willing to send your precious Son, that we might come to know you in saving grace, that we might have all the promises that's written and recorded in your precious word, that we know the way and you watch care, you're looking after and care for us each and every day. And Lord, how encouraging, how much more strength we need than the strength from you. We ask now again that you'd bless this time together. Humble us down that you might be exalted in the name of Christ with grateful heart, we do pray. Amen. Now, as we talked about the church, I'm going to leave you with this one in Isaiah, the fifth chapter, one series of verses that I want to leave you with this morning. As we looked at how we ought to behave ourselves in the church of the living God. And of course, we looked at us as an individual that's part of the body of Christ and the church. Then we looked at the body of Christ as a whole. And then we've looked at this assembly that we gather and assemble in. In Isaiah, the fifth chapter, he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Does that sound familiar to you today? Is that where we're going in what we call the great nation that we live in? It says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men in the streets when mingling with strong drink, which justifieth the wicked for a reward and take away the righteous for the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel." This was God speaking to the nation of Israel and what he would do to them. And I can see our nation going in that direction. But I wanted to start with a new topic today. You know, as we travel life's journey, things change in life, and as we travel that life pathway, our faith if you know Christ and you're a child of His, you're still in your once care. We also know that our faith can be tested as we travel life's journey. So this morning I want us to begin to look at faith. Faith. I want us to look at ourselves and examine ourselves as we look at our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Hebrews 11th chapter, we read verse number 1. And we'll look at this in steps, so to speak, as we study together, Lord willing. Now, if we look at the word faith in Webster, he says, faith is what? He says, it's a believing without proof. A believing without proof. He says, trust. A believer in God and His promises. So think on that for just a moment. But now let's look at what God says faith is in Hebrews. And we look at 11th chapter and verse number 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, a couple of things in this particular verse that I want us to pay attention to. We say faith. Faith is just one word. But look what God says about faith. Faith is a what? It's a substance. Things are made up of substance. So He says faith is a substance. So faith comes in different parts, so to speak. So He says now, it's a substance of things. And notice it says things. So we have faith that's the substance of things. Then it says, and the evidence of things not seen. So here we have the word things again. So that tells us that faith is a substance of many things. So now let's look at it and let's examine this for just a moment. So I want us to go all the way back, and I want you to think about the time when you come to know Christ, come to trust Him. Now, I want us to look at a few verses this morning, see where we were and where we are today. And how did you get from where you were to where you are today? In faith. So, and we know it's very familiar when we begin to look at the picture. And if we go back and look, and we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. It's going to be very familiar scripture that you've heard many times. But if we look at Romans, we know if we look at 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know that we all are sinners. You say, well, I was a sinner. No, you still are a sinner. You might be saved, but you're still a sinner. And you'll be a sinner until your toes turn up and God calls you home. Because we're still in this natural body. The thing is that if you know Christ this morning, you're a sinner saved by grace. And amen. Our sins are under His blood, separated from us to be remembered no more. But when we look at Romans 6 chapter and 23, it says, there's a wage for sin. And it says the wages of sin is what? It's death. So what was our sentence? because we're all sinners. Death is the sentence. Now, we're not talking about just the physical death. It says it's appointed to man wants to die, so every one of us is going to die. But what then? What then? If you were to die this second, where would you be the next second? And I hope that there's not a single solitary one of in here or a single solitary one listening over the way of internet that wouldn't be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I hope that's where you are today. But it says we're all sinners. Wages of sin is death. But it says there's a gift. And we know that that gift is of God. And it's eternal life. And it comes only by one means in one way. And that's through His Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, think with me for just a moment. Before you were saved, how much faith did you have? You think about that seriously now. Before the Lord saved you, how much faith did you have? How much were you concerned? How much was I concerned about our Lord Jesus Christ? What difference did He make in our lives? What do we care about Him? I guarantee you, most of us say we didn't care anything about Him, had no concern about Him. We'd go and do our own thing and just happy-go-lucky in the life we were living. So what changed that? If you didn't have any faith in Him then, before you were saved, what happened for that to change? Let's look at a few verses together, if you allow me. Now, go with me over back to John. You're in Romans, just flip back to John. I want to go to John chapter number 6. I want to go to verse number 44. And see what it says. You know, as we've studied and we looked at how we ought to behave ourselves in the church, we studied some about the comfort and the Holy Spirit. I want us to look at that also and blend it in with this and where you were. In John the 6th chapter, in verse number 44, it's, no man can come to me. Now, I want you to look at this very carefully. Look at the wording in this very carefully. It says, and no what? No man, no individual, absolutely nobody can do what? Can come to me except. Except what? Okay, except the Father which hath sent me. And of course, this is Christ speaking, so we're talking about Jesus Christ who's been sent by the Father. Draw him. And then he says, and I will raise him up in the last day. So, we're sinners, we're lost, don't care anything at all about Christ, and have no concern for him. How is it that if you're saved today, that you got into the position that you're in today? What happened to change that? Well, let's go again and look at a few verses that we looked at here in John. So let's flip back over now to the 15th chapter for just a moment. It says, now no man comes to the Father except he be drawn. Here you go. Has to be drawn to the Father. Now, in the 15th chapter, and we look at the verses that we've read for the last few Sundays in verse number 26. But when the comforter is come, and of course we know that we also found out in chapter number 14 that comforter, in chapter 19, verse 26, but the comforter which is the Holy Ghost. So we know that comforter is the Holy Ghost. So that comforter we're talking about in this verse 26 is the Holy Spirit. And when the comforter is come, or the Holy Spirit is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Now, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of what? He's the Spirit of truth. So any message that's provided to you and I in the process of drawing us to know Christ in saving grace is going to be done by the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit of truth that does the drawing, which proceeded from the Father. He shall do what? The only thing that he's going to do is testify of the Father and of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and it enlightens us to the truth of God and the truth of God's Word. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning, as he spoke to the apostles. Now, here we are, we're lost, undone, without hope. You think back, somewhere, somebody spoke a word, spoke a message, or said something to you, the Holy Spirit used to ring a bell in your mind and your heart. Planted a thought in your mind that I'm in bad shape because I'm in a world of sin, in a world that the wages of sin is death, and I've got all my sins on my shoulders. And I need help to escape that burden of sin. Somewhere, somebody spoke a word to you, and the Lord began to ruminate in your heart and in your mind. The Holy Spirit at work as it draws. He said, no man comes to the Father except he be drawn. So the Holy Spirit began to do a work to draw you to know and understand who Christ is and your position in the world that we lived in. Notice I said we lived in. Because if you've been saved, you're not in that position today, thank the Lord. So we see that somewhere somebody planted a seed of God's Word. And the Holy Spirit used that to grow it into a conviction and to show you and I that we needed to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, look at Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse number 8. Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse number 8. For by grace, most of us know these without, we could quote them without even looking at them. For by grace, what is grace? God's unmerited love and favor toward you and I. And through his love toward us, through his grace, you are saved. So it's by his love and his mercy and grace that we're saved, but it's by what? By faith. It's by faith. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So it's a gift that God gives us. He says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, notice it says that we're saved through faith. Okay, let's look at that statement for just a minute, for just a moment, and back up with me, back to Romans again. I said we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, so we're going to flip back and forth this morning. So over in Romans chapter number 10, I thought I got ahead of myself. Chapter number 10 and verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Okay. Now, we've got to come to a position somewhere in life that we realize that our sinful position is separated from God and destined for an eternal hell. We realize that position. We realize that position because someone spoke to us about Christ and because the Holy Spirit began to work in our heart to draw us to know Christ. And here it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it puts us in a position that we know we need a Savior. And we call upon the Lord and ask Him to have mercy and grace upon us and save us from our sins. Let's read on. How then shall we call on Him in whom we have not believed? How are you going to call on somebody that you've not believed in? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? That was our position before the seed was planted and the Holy Spirit began to draw him. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they shall not all obey the gospel, for as thou saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith, here's the word, here's the verse. So faith cometh by what? Hearing. And it's not just a physical hearing. It's a hearing that goes to the heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. So, go back. Someone spoke to you about Christ. And someone spoke to you about your position. And you heard the word of truth. And the Holy Spirit plants that and begins to work in the heart to draw you to come to know Christ. And that's the way we come to know Christ in saving grace. It says that we are drawn. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's all based on the Word of God and all based on hearing the Word of God. But the problem is that you and I, as sinners, are deaf to the hearing of the Word of God, and that's where the work of the Holy Spirit comes into play to enlighten us to the gospel, that we might hear it and accept it and receive it and believe it and be saved. So it only comes by hearing. Now, let's go back again and look at where we started in Hebrews. Let's look at this 11th chapter And let's look at a couple more verses now. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, here he also set, he's setting an example for us right to start with. Because here he mentions the elders that obtained a good report. Well, we're going to see those listed because it's going to say by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. We're going to see this in the rest of this chapter. But there's something I want you to notice. He says that by this the elders obtained a good report. That's by faith that we're talking about in verse number 1. But look at verse number 3. He says, through faith, we do what? We understand. Through faith, we understand. He says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This whole book here is the word of God. And the more we study it, the more we know about it, the more we understand it, the more we understand things about God, the more we understand our faith. And the deeper we get into it, we understand it more and more and more. So here it says, through faith we understand. But what's the first thing, he says, that we understand in this verse? He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So you and I, when the Holy Spirit began to work with us to draw us into the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, this is what had to happen. First of all, if we go back and we look at the book of Genesis, and we look at Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, who? God. You've got to understand there is a God. You've got to understand there is one God, the one and only true God, the creator of the universe, the creator of man, and the one that will judge sin, and the one that will judge Satan, and the one that will judge you and I. And he's going to either judge us under the blood of Christ or out from under the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ takes us to our eternal journey with him, with our sins forgiven. Without the blood of Christ, it sends you directly to hell. No question. So, we've got to know and acknowledge and understand that there is a God, a Lord God Almighty, creator of the universe. Number one, in the understanding that we see in this. Now, look at the rest of the verse. And it says that things which are seen were not made with things which do exist. That also tells us that the God that created this universe did it just like he says in the book of Genesis. He's spoken into existence. When he speaks, there's action. And there's nothing too big for God. You think the God of the universe that's spoken into existence don't know our needs and our feelings? Sure he does. And he's also able to meet those in whatever situation. We find ourselves in. And I'll tell you something. When you have sickness in your family and you lose a member of your family, it will try your faith without question. It'll try your faith. But I'm telling you, there's a God that's a faithful God and a true God and a God of promise. And he says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And he knows your needs before you ever get to where you are. Amen. Did I pray that the Lord would heal Francis? Sure I did. It She's my wife. Notice I said she's my wife. She's still my wife for 64 years. You think I didn't pray for her? Sure, I prayed for her time after time after time after time. Did God answer my prayer? He sure did. On March the 11th, at 5:30 a.m., he answered all my prayers because she's completely healed. Amen. And she don't have to worry about not one more pain because she's in his presence. Amen. Now, the pain has reversed. Now I've got some pain, but God knows all about that too. But these things that we face in life will try our faith. I guarantee you, it'll try your faith. But here as we look, you must understand there is a God, the creator of the universe, that loved you and I so much that he was willing to send his son. Now you think he didn't love his son? He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased." And where did he send him? He sent him to Calvary's tree. And he took you and my sins and he nailed them to that cross that we might be separated from them and they would be remembered no more. Now, if you believe in God, the only one and true God, you've also got to believe in his son, whom he sent. Now, look with me, if you will, in John. We're hanging in John pretty close now. So look in John chapter number 20. I'll find it in a minute. You'll bear with me. Chapter number 20. I want you to look with me in verse number 30. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Christ did a lot of things not recorded in Scripture, in case you didn't know that. Now, verse number 31 starts with what word? But. See, now you pay attention, because he told you something now. "But these are written." For what reason? "That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have," what? "Life through his name." The whole gospel in a nutshell, in that particular verse. Because he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, and if you believe in him, you obtain what? Eternal life. So you've got to believe that there was a God and there is a God and there was a Christ that went to Calvary and he's still what? Alive. So what else have we got to believe? We've got to also believe that he was resurrected. You must believe that there is a God, there is a Christ, that he died on Calvary for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day, and he's ascended and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel. That's what we must believe in. Now, look at Acts, if you will, with me, and let's look at chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. I'm not going to get this finished, I don't believe. Verse number 26, and it said, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, said, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, Gaza, which is the desert. And as he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had been charged, who had the charge of all the treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he come to Jerusalem to worship, but I don't mean his worship is the true God that he needed to worship. Now, he said he was returning and sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Now, there are two things that I want you to look at. Got 2 minutes, and I don't know when we'll get through this or not. Now, notice that here's somebody called Philip. And who's dealing with Philip? Spirit of God, right? So the Spirit of God tells Philip to go because he's got a job for him to do. Somewhere down the line, the Spirit of God told somebody to go talk to you about Jesus. It either drawed you to a church service, it either drawed you to a revival, or somewhere you met somebody that exposed you to Christ. And the Holy Spirit was involved in that because it was doing the drawing. Notice a while ago we said, you can't come unless you're drawn by the Father. Now, at the same time, something else happened. And he said, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip did what? He just mungled along. He said he ran. Boy, we ought to be running to tell people about the Lord. He said he ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I understand? He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered, Philip and said, I pray thee, of what speaketh the prophet this of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. And what did he do? He opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? He preached to him Jesus. Hearing cometh by the word. So what did he preach to him? He preached to him the word of Jesus. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water. Wait a minute, I've lost myself. Back up to 37, I'm sorry. 6, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said unto, see here the water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou do what? If thou believe, and ye believe where? With all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must believe there's a God. You must believe there's a Son. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. and baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way doing what? We ought to be jumping up and shouting this morning because we're on our way. We're on our way to the Lord. Time's gone. God bless you. We'll continue. Where you get your faith from?